Most loving and gracious Father in heaven, how thankful we are that we can live yet another day for thy glory. And we thank thee for yet another new day of this church camp, a day where we can learn from thy word and to provoke one another unto love and unto good works. What a wonderful privilege and what a foretaste of heaven above here in this camp. And so, Father, as we come to begin this day, we want to seek thee in thy word. For this word you have given to us to learn more about thee and thy will. And so we plead of thee, even this morning, that you would draw us nigh unto thee by these words of truth. And may thou cause these words of truth to burn in our hearts. Grant us good understanding that we may follow and obey. In Jesus' most blessed name we pray. Amen. Let us turn our Bibles to John 21. We shall read two passages of Scripture. The first one is taken from John chapter 21, verses 1 to 19. John 21, verses 1 to 19. And let us read this passage responsively. I shall begin with verse 1. John chapter 21, verses 1 to 19. Verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. Simon Peter saith unto him, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. Therefore, that disciple who Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, at 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Together verse 19, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Please turn with me also to Galatians chapter 6 and verses 1 to 3. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. And let's read these verses in unison. Verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. The Lord bless the reading of his sacred word. For our third devotion in this camp, we are discussing the topic of restoring the backslider. When we talk about the Lord chastising the backslider, well, it usually involves an admonishment, a rebuke, and this he may do so via his word and also through the various circumstances of life which he may bring into the believer's life, right? The various circumstances which he may bring into a believer's life. Sometimes it may be the form of an ailment. Sometimes it may be form of certain problems, certain trials, certain tribulations. And the believer, when he perceives this to be the chastising hand of God, and then when he repents, what happened? Well, the Lord does not just leave the believer alone. We read from the scriptures that the Lord will also restore the believer back to a right fellowship with him. If you read the Shepherd's Psalm, that is Psalm 23, you will realize that in the Psalm, one portion of the Psalm says, he restoreth my soul. Now, how does the shepherd do that? Well, if you study the life of a shepherd, you realize that sometimes when sheep go astray and they are very stubborn, what the shepherd will do is to break the leg of the sheep to prevent the sheep from wandering further away from the flock. And at the point of time when the sheep leg was broken, the sheep may not understand, why is my leg broken? Why is the shepherd doing this to me? But after that, when the sheep is brought back to the flock, well, the shepherd will bandage the leg of the sheep and then slowly nurse the sheep back to health. Well, that's a very nice picture of the restoration of the believer, the restoration of the temporal backslider. And this is exactly the case which we see in John chapter 21. And we want to observe how meek and gentle, the shepherd, in this case the Lord Jesus Christ, restored Simon Peter. Well, Simon Peter was very discouraged after he had denied the Lord three times. And how discouraged was he? Well, he went back to his old vocation, and his old occupation was a fisherman. And we know that Simon Peter was the leader among these apostles. He was very influential. And so he also influenced the rest of the disciples to join him. In this case, we see Thomas, we see Nathanael or Nathanael, and then we see the sons of Zebedee and two other disciples joining him to go fishing. Now, instead of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, they were so discouraged, they thought that they were disqualified from being apostles, and they went back to their fishing. Now, of course, there are certain sins which may occur in a person's life that may disqualify him from certain ministry. For example, if you talk about an elder, if he has done certain sins that are public, or a pastor that has done certain things that are public, well, he may not be able to go back to his office anymore, right, to the office which he used to hold anymore. But that does not mean that the person cannot be restored back to a right fellowship with God, just that he may serve in a different capacity now. Well, but in this case, well, it was the Lord's intention to restore them back to a right fellowship, as well as to encourage them to persevere on in their call as apostles, especially the apostle Peter. Now, how did he do it? Well, you realize that the miracle occurred, and this miracle was very similar to the one which Simon Peter experienced at his call to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. But the difference here is this. Right, at the first miracle, right, which at his calling, the net broke. Now here, the net did not break. Right? The net was indeed very heavy. They are not able to draw it, right, for the multitude of fishes. But when they finally drew the net to the land slowly, and they counted the number of fishes, the Bible was very precise in the number of fishes, 153. Now, why in the first case the net broke? The first miracle is the net broke, and then here the net did not break. Well, one thing we must take note about miracles is that they will point to a particular sign or a lesson, right, greater than the miracle itself. Well, for the first miracle, which was Simon Peter's calling, right, the Lord's emphasis was on his power and on his majesty, and how the Lord will use the disciples to be a wonderful testimony in this world of darkness, to do the work of the gospel, to bringing people unto Christ himself. But for the second miracle, the emphasis was this. Well, disciples, I know that you are discouraged, but look unto me, look unto Christ. I know exactly how much you can bear. Now, if you want to do the work of an apostle on your own human strength, it's not possible. But with me, if you depend on me, if you anchor yourself in Christ, yes, you shall be able to do God's work. And there is a certain work that is appointed for you, as you realize at the end of after the passage that we read, verses 18 to 19, there is a certain work that is appointed for Peter. The end of Peter is also settled. All things are under the control of Christ. So there's no need for you to be discouraged. He will grant you the grace and the strength to do so. I know that you are sorry and you truly have repent from your sin, Simon Peter. Now don't be discouraged anymore. Press on in your labor for the Lord. You see how Christ restored back Simon Peter, very gentle through this miracle, and later even in his conversation with Simon Peter, he asked lovingly, "Lovers, thou me?" He did not go for a straight rebuke. "Why do you not love me? Shouldn't you know any better? You have been with me all these 3 years and you cannot understand?" No. Christ was very gentle, very meek, very humble in the way he dealt with Simon Peter. Could he have dealt with Simon Peter authoritatively, with a very authoritative tone? Of course he can. Is not he the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? "I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I am your master. Surely you should have dealt with me better." But no, he was so loving in the way he dealt with Simon Peter. So that is how the Lord deals with us as when we repent from our sins, by the way he restores us back and encourages us through his word and through certain circumstances of life will be like this, very gentle, very loving. Now, this is how the Lord restores us, and that is in the sovereign hand of God. But that also does not negate our human responsibility to the people around us. There is also a responsibility for each one of us to restore backsliders. And how do we know this? This will be in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Let us turn there. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. And here God's word says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in the fault, ye which are spiritual, restore," right? This is an exhortation, a command to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now, what is the basis why we restore backsliders, especially those who are remorseful and want to return back to the Lord? Why should we be concerned about their lives? Why should we encourage them? Well, simply because we are brethren, right? Do not miss out the word brethren. We are of the family of God. And as the part of the heavenly family, surely we must be concerned about the spiritual lives of one another. Dear brother, are you doing well in your walk with the Lord? Look, brother, this thing that you are doing is not right. Look, brother, I see how you are struggling in your work and I see that you are trying to overcome this sin. Let me encourage you by the word of God and also through prayer. I will pray for you. And I do this because as brethren, we ought to love one another. We are part of the heavenly family. Oh, that is the very basis. And so here, Paul writes to the Galatian Christians, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault." And here the word overtaken is an interesting word. It has this understanding of being overtaken by surprise. So this means that this person, when he is overtaken by this fault, he is not doing so willfully. He is not a stubborn and rebellious person. So it could refer to a person who perhaps has been sinning without sinning, and then he's perhaps not aware of his own fault. Or also it could refer to those who perhaps have been backsliding for some time. They cannot see, but you because you have a spiritual discernment, you can see. Or it could refer to those who have backslided, but now, right, they are willing, right, to come back to the Lord. Well, of course, if a person is rebellious and stubborn, well, the way to help the person is you must continue to admonish and warn that brother. Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And sometimes there is a need to be firm, and sometimes even harsh. That is exactly how the Lord deals with sinners, isn't it? You look at how the Lord deals with Israel, the northern and southern kingdom, when they sin against God. Well, the chastising hand sometimes can be very grievous. Well, we have studied that yesterday. But what happens if the man wants to return back to the Lord? Right, ye which are spiritual. Oh, that is the key first. Firstly, we must consider ourselves also. Well, we want to restore others. Well, we have a duty to make sure that we ourselves are spiritual. And here the word spiritual, if you look at the context, right, which is Galatians chapter 5, will refer to one who is bearing the fruit of the Spirit. He is filled by the Spirit. He is a mature Christian. He is one who knows the Scriptures, not just in the head, but it's also manifested in his life. And so before we talk about restoring a sinner, first we have a duty to make sure that we who are restoring this sinner, this backslider, must be exemplary in our conduct. But we must know the Scriptures thoroughly. We must walk aright with God. Well, many times, there are people who try and counsel another person, but this person himself is also involved in the same fault, and sometimes in an even greater sin than the other person. And instead of helping their brother, becomes a stumbling block. Well, make sure you check your life first. Ye who are spiritual, are you mature in the Holy Scriptures? Can this love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance be found in your life? Well, we have a duty, therefore, to also grow as Christians. And as we grow as Christians, well, help one another. Restore them. And here the word restore has this picture of mending. Right, mending of a net that is broken, or sometimes when bones are out of joint, to put them and to slowly nurse them back to normal. Well, the person may be depressed, the person may be discouraged. Then we help him. If you talk about at the church level, when, for example, somebody undergoes a discipline, a church member undergoes for certain public sins, there is this discipline, and afterwards there is a period of restoration, you will realize that certain things are done. Firstly, of course, is to ascertain whether the person is truly repentant, but the things that this person seeking restoration is asked to do, it's also to help him. For example, if the person is an adulterer, he has committed fornication, right, and is public, well, he may be asked to refrain from taking the Lord's Supper for a certain period of time. And during this period of time, he may be asked to read the Holy Scriptures on passages dealing with faithfulness to the spouse. And slowly, as he reads those scriptures, the elders, the session will, and the leaders will come together and to encourage him, and to ascertain whether or not he truly understands the scriptures, and slowly restore him back to a right fellowship with his wife or husband, or and also with God. Right, so that this fellowship that has once been broken is now mended. But the way we do so, this restoration is also very important. Right? We have the basis, right? We have this exhortation to restore this person. But we must make sure that when we do so, we also do so in the spirit of meekness. Well, I believe our speaker has talked much about meekness in the earlier messages. There's also an article on meekness written in the Weekly not too long ago, right, from the Beatitudes. Refers to a spirit of humility in the person towards God, and this is also expressed out in his conduct, it's revealed in his conduct in everyday life, how he conducts himself with people. And so, when we restore a sinner, do we do so because we are proud of ourselves or have a holier-than-thou kind of attitude? Well, truth in love. And that is exactly the point down here, right? If you look at verse 2, bear ye one another burdens, why? And so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ. And how is the law of Christ fulfilled? Well, we know the law of Christ can be summarized in two commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Loving God and loving man. So, when I restore this person, is it because I want to prove my own righteousness, which is very silly because we have no righteousness of ourselves? If in any sense we seem to be spiritual, it's only because the Holy Spirit is working through us. We can only bear the fruit of the Spirit because God is very gracious to us, not because of any intrinsic goodness in us. We shouldn't think ourselves to be something when we are truly nothing. We are nobody. But instead, we should minister to one another in love. And so, one way in which we make decisions in ministry will be to ask ourselves this one question. When I make these decisions, is it because of the love of my brethren? And when we talk about love of a brethren, it's not the Hollywood kind of love, but love that seeks to build believers in the truth, in godliness, in spiritual maturity. Am I doing so because I love souls? And with that principle, I go about restoring one another. Also considering myself, because I know that just as my brother can be easily overtaken by this fault, so I can be. If the Lord doesn't sustain me, if the Lord doesn't help me, if the Lord doesn't preserve me, I myself can also be tempted and I may also fall into the same sin. In fact, I can be worse than my fellow brother if I'm not careful with my life. And this really ought to humble us, isn't it? Sometimes when we minister to others and then we say, look, brother, this is something that is not right. I want to encourage you to fix it. But the way we do it, we are so full of arrogance. It's as though we will never fall into the same sin. What foolishness! And so, how then to minister to our brethren? Well, go back to John chapter 21. Look at how Jesus dealt with Peter, how Jesus restored him. That is the very example. See how Jesus spoke the truth in love. See how Jesus restored Simon Peter in the spirit of meekness and gentleness. And then we follow the way of the Master. And so let us take note of this. And I believe that as we continue to encourage one another in the faith, right, the saints here in Tabernacle BP Church will surely grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But let us love one another, and let us also be humble before God and before men. That is the key. Right? So let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word, which is a double-edged sword, discerning into our very thoughts and intentions. And we thank thee how thy word rebukes us, admonishes us, but also encourages and comforts us. O Lord, thou art a wonderful God. And so as we continue to minister to one another, Father, let us do so in the spirit of love. Grant us long-suffering and patience towards one another, helping one another to press on in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank thee once again for this privilege to study thy word, and may you continue to lead us as our great shepherd. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.